I'll do like Alan.
We'll do the Discover Games dance. There you go. There's the Discover Games dance. I don't know what that is either. What's happening? It is the amazing, the epic, the one of a kind, only gray Indie Invasion t-shirt wearing Eric and Mac for you guys with our Indie Invasion shorts episode every Wednesday night. If you jump on and are watching, whether you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, or somewhere on Facebook, hop in the comments section, say hello, and we will hopefully be able to answer any questions or anything else that you have. But we have something kind of interesting tonight. What were we going to talk about, Eric?
Well, we got on a kick of talking about eBay in the last week, because we get on here and start talking to each other and be like, did you see this one? And yeah, look at you.
I got stuff coming in all like crazy, man.
See, I've been crazy. I've been behaving because I have not really actually found what I was looking for. You know, I didn't want to spend
$100 on it. You are not looking hard enough then. You are not looking hard enough.
No, I probably wasn't.
So, hey, Craig, looks like somebody from your neighborhood, because he said, hey, Eric. So
Craig is our first Canadian on the show.
Right on, Craig. What's happening, buddy? I'm sure it's colder where he is even than where you are, my friend.
Yeah, he's way up north.
Yeah. Not here, man. I'm good right down here. I appreciate it. Appreciate that you guys are willing to endure the weather up there, but I'm good right here where it's nice and warm, and I'm still wearing shorts and it's February.
And flip-flops.
Well, I don't even have shoes on right now, so.
Man.
Yeah, I'm living the dream, man. Living the dream. Oh, Todd's here too. Right on. All right, well, Eric, you want to dive us into what we're talking about? Give us a little Eric and those dulcet tones.
Dulcet tones, Will. Let me tell you what we're talking about today. We're talking about some dice that you roll and throw on the table.
Ooh,
you like that one? You like that?
That was good. Todd said 73 in Dallas-Fort Worth today. That's what I'm talking about. Wasn't quite that warm here today. We were about 64, 65, but I'm okay with that. What's the temperature for you, Eric?
Let me pick up the phone.
Like five?
Six. We got snow coming. It's 30 degrees right now.
Oh, it's balmy up there right now.
I feel like a weatherman all of a sudden. We're like, wow, what's the temperature out by you? What's the temperature by you?
It's nice here. But yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about dice, because there's so many different mechanics out there in games. So for anybody out there listening, if there's a dice mechanic in a game that is your all-time favorite, man, let us know, because we're going to talk about a few of them. You're getting thrown under the bus here, Eric. What's it going to be Sunday?
We're getting snow this weekend.
We're going to get a little rain. Get some rain. Might have to actually put shoes on to go outside and grill on the porch. So
my grill's buried right now.
Well, you can keep your buried grill. Anyway, we're talking about dice mechanics, because lots of games have lots of different mechanics. If there's one that you prefer that you think is just the bomb, it's head and shoulders above anything else, throw it up in the comment section. If you're commenting after this, after the live part of it, we'll still see the comments, and we will do our very best to get back and comment. And probably if it's a dice mechanic we don't know, look on eBay to see if we can find whatever game it is that you mentioned that uses said dice mechanic. Oh, you know I will. I'll be all over it, man. I'll find six copies, one for you and five for me, something like that. So what about you, Eric? What's a dice mechanic game that you like?
Well, I'm very partial lately to D10s. I like D10s.
Right.
I like the, your percentage is easy to figure out when you're, you know, getting your putting your dice together and rolling them to hit or rolling them for defense.
So like you like a D10 dice pool.
Yes, I like the pool system.
And what game?
I wonder.
Represents a D10 dice pool. What game would that be that you could think of that?
I got nothing right here to grab for
good
you. Good
representation but, of that. What would that be?
Well, that of course would be Wild West Exodus.
Oh yes, Wild West Exodus. Of course, of course. Well, okay, that's a good one, Craig. I didn't even think about that drafting.
Drafting
mechanic. Yeah, I don't know of any drafting dice games, but now that doesn't mean anything because I don't do a lot of the games that involve that kind of gameplay. So if there's one you guys know of, throw that up there. I'd be interested to try that. I don't know if the I can't remember the name of the game, the superhero dice game, Dice Masters. I guess that's kind of because you're
pulling them from a bag and you're buying them to put in your bag.
Yeah,
that would be a good example.
Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Role player jumps to mind. Okay. Those are cool. But I do. So for me in that regard, I do like Dice Masters. We have a whole bunch of dice. A bunch of them were donated to us. And naturally, that's easy game for the kids to play. So that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. So for me, I'm going to go same dice type with you. I'm going to go D10 because I really like the D10 as well. I think it's that middle point, like you're halfway to a role-playing game because you're halfway to that D20. But for me, I like the mechanic that the Drowned Earth did. So you're only rolling two dice, but now this is a little bit hard to follow, or at least it's a little hard for me to explain. But if you check out you can download the rules for free. So you have one die that is targeting an attribute number. Okay. And then you have another die that is, you'd almost call it like your special die. It's your feat die. And if you succeed on that one, then all kinds of really cool stuff happens. It's like, you don't just succeed. If you succeed on the one die, you're successful. But if you succeed on the one die and the other one, well, then it's like super successful. Yeah. You were $6 million man style pulling off whatever it was you were trying to do. So that's
similar to what like X-Wing has. We're kind of talking about what systems reflect these things. X-Wing has those kind of those specialty dice that mean a certain thing, right?
Yeah. And that's actually a really good segue too, because you got a lot of specialty dice games. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned X-Wing. So just off the top of my head, I know there's X-Wing, there's Attack Wing, there's all the wings that all they use the flight path system. So Attack Wing, Star Trek Attack Wing, and then X-Wing, Core Space uses specialty dice, Imperial Assault uses specialty dice.
Yeah.
Gaslands uses specialty dice.
And that could be anything from the shape of a D10 or a D6. It's just what, you know, icon are they going to put it on?
Yep. My Crisis Protocol as well. Yep.
Okay.
And again, that one seems to keep coming up. I think
that's hot right now.
Hot right now. I may just have to knuckle down and go ahead and buy it and stop mooching off my son and just playing his set. But then I got to paint something and then I got to build terrain. And then I know it's terrible. It's first world problems, right? World problems. So the specialty dice are really cool. I do have one that, moving from the specialty dice that I really like. And that is, let me see if I know this is going to go on the podcast, so nobody will see this, but I'm going to hold the book up anyway, because bam, Twisted. Now I'm probably going to hang out on this one for a minute. And I'm going to tell you why is because, what I really liked about it was, and I didn't think I was going to like Twisted, the rule set per se. I loved the history and the fluff and the models and all that stuff. But when I started reading through it, I was like, okay, I got a skirmish game and I'm looking at the cards and I'm like D20, D12, D10, D8, D6, D4. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm thinking, oh, I should grab this box instead because I'm about to play a role-playing game.
Yeah. It has that role-playing feeling.
Exactly. That was the point of it. See, I didn't think I was going to be really on board with the whole your regular RPG polyhedral dice set.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ended up playing and I'm like, oh, just like you said, I was like, it's kind of like since it's so small scale and you only got a few guys on the table at a time, I really felt like I was playing a role-playing game, or as close as you were going to get to a role-playing game with minis on the table. Anyway, yeah. So
yeah,
that was a big one for me. So we may end up talking about eBay anyway, as we blow through these dice mechanics, just saying, because we may need to talk about eBay. We may need
the support. Is that what it is?
I'm not sure what support I need. I'm not sure if I need support to keep me away,
or if we need to know how the support works in our group. It's like, yeah, you go ahead and buy that. You need that.
Right. So I can see that Todd is really trying to push me onto Marvel Crisis Protocol because it's O scale in Model Railroad. Todd, killing me, bro. Because now we just started talking about eBay. He says O scale. Man, you can get good deals on O scale terrain on eBay. Also, you can find some good deals for them if you hit a lot of your thrift stores. I think a couple years ago, I had popped in one of the thrift stores around here, and some dude had like cleared out his train building stuff. You dirty rascal, you. But he had cleared out his train building stuff, man. I went in there. There were bottles of it was Flock and Static Grass and Snow and just, and of course you go into a thrift store, nobody knew what they were.
Yeah.
You know, they're $15 to $19. There's a $1 price tag on every single one of them. Gosh. I'm walking. I'm like, oh, and my wife's like, oh, what are you getting there? I said, everything.
You got a bigger shopping cart.
Yes. Need a bigger shopping cart. Everything. So anyway, what else you got for dice mechanics?
So real quick, I'll just run through some of these and we can stop on them if we want. So we got D6 pools. It's your basic that most people know what D6 is. That's your standard die for board games.
And your orc player definitely knows that one.
Yep. Yes. We cover D10s. We have your D20 system,
right?
Which is nice because you have that broader range of what you can hit. We have the tiered system. We haven't touched on tiered system yet.
Yeah, you want to touch on that one? From Street Wars is where I. And Dracula's America.
And Dracula's America is where I know it from.
Yeah.
Where your characters have a starting stat that they roll that D system for that stat. And like Dracula's America, as they take hits and damage and stuff, well, then they drop down.
Right.
You know, they may say your powerful boss, he starts at a D12, you know, for doing his abilities. Well, as he starts getting hurt and taking hits, he may drop down to the D10 or the D8. And then eventually, you know, if you work all the way down, you know, then he goes out. That's kind of how he goes out.
Right. Now, does Dracula's America stop at D6? Because Street Wars stops at D6.
I think they do. I don't think they go down to the D4. D4s are weird, and they hurt when you step on them.
Yeah, they do. They are they're your real world caltrops, so that you can feel like a thief when you're running a thief.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But yeah, Street Wars uses that same tiered system, and actually, so does Pulp Alley.
That's right.
Yep. Those are very interesting systems. I like them. I've played quite a few Street Wars games. I've played a handful of Pulp Alley games. I have all of the Dracula's America stuff, but I haven't played it yet. I mean, I have all the perfect models because I have all the Wild West Exodus stuff. Mm-hmm. And since it's Weird West, it works great. But I really like that tiered mechanic. Because a couple of reasons. One, it lets you as a gamer use your massive collection of all those dice that you have.
Grab a whole handful and
or just being able to go over, because when you've been playing the skirmish games for so long, you've been rolling D6 and D10s. So it's nice to go over one every once in a while and give your D12 some love again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Been sitting over there in a box collecting dust, and now you get to do that. So Camp Grizzly does that idea, but in reverse.
That's right. I'll have to check. It's been a while since I've looked at that game. It's a board game.
Okay.
That's kind of reminds me of Don't Look Back a little bit. It's kind of the same premise. It's been a while. I'll have to double check that one and look into that again.
Okay. Oh, look at this, man. We are super international today. We're America, Canada, and Australia. We're all over the place.
All right. Wayne made it.
Yeah, I did. Awesome. Man. So, okay. So he says the antagonist Otis gets more powerful as the game progresses. Oh, okay. Okay. That sounds kind of cool.
So it's kind of a nice, that adds, you know, that kind of mechanic adds to that tension
yes.
of your game.
Yes.
Which is great in that sense. Just like I was going to mention going the other way, like with Street Wars Dracula, it right. gives you that feeling of your guys basically yeah. getting beat down.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. It's basically Friday the 13th. Yeah. Got it. Got it. Okay. Okay. So you can't win no matter what.
It's hard. you I mean, even when you think you're almost ready to win, you're getting on that rowboat to get out of the camp.
Well, that's cool though, because
it happened.
When you and I had the opportunity to play Don't Look Back, which it, based on what you're saying, Craig, about that game and your comparison, Eric, with Don't Look Back, that whole tension building mechanic, it's like they both emulated that same thing. So mm-hmm. if you can imagine one board game version, one skirmish game version, but I thought that Don't Look Back really did that well. I think it's hard to execute a good horror game because it's so difficult to create that tension in the game where you care about losing your model. Because in your skirmish game, I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but a lot of my first skirmish games, well, not skirmish game, but wargaming stuff was 40K. And I'm playing orcs and I'm like, okay, that orc doesn't have a name. He's just dead. There's 300 of them on the table. I don't care that one died. You know what I mean? So building that tension can be really hard to make you care about that character. And I thought I did it really well. And I might have to check out that Camp Grizzly one and see, because my kids might be interested in.
Yeah, it's a tough one to find, I think, nowadays. I end up going direct.
I could look on eBay.
You probably could. I know a guy that has that game.
Do you? Do you have it? Well, you know, I'll be seeing you in a couple weeks at Coastal Con, by the way.
I bought the minis for it just to have the minis.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. All right. So what else you got? Well, that was the tier.
Okay. Here's a kind of a thing that we see in a couple games. Game coming out pretty soon. Actually, it just got released. The Dystopian Wars. New rules.
Okay.
They have a dice exploding mechanic. What do you think of that one?
I like it. I don't think I've ever experienced like the negative side of it, because I know everybody I've ever seen say something negative about exploding dice is the guy on the receiving end of the exploding dice. Free Blades uses that too. look at Dan comes in and says, that's right, poor orc number 3792, no one cared for him. That's why he was there, because nobody loved him, so he had to go join the WOG. But Free Blades uses the exploding dice system too. And I'll tell you something funny about that game. That's an amazing game company. I mean, you could hate the fantasy genre for a skirmish game and you would still like DGS games just because of the way the guys and the folks are in the company and the way they handle everything. They're amazing people. But they have like a running contest in their tournaments where you get, I can't remember if it's a coin or a pen. I can't remember which one it is, but it's for the most exploding dice.
Well, that's kind of
they have a running record in their tournaments for most exploding dice in a row. And I think the top one is like 11 exploding dice in a row. So if I was on the receiving end of that, yeah. I'm not sure I would like exploding dice anymore.
No, I don't think so either. But that would be fun to just keep rolling.
The table had to be exploding. It had to be. People had to be going, oh my God, you did it again. You know what I mean? It had to be just off the chain. That had to be probably one of the most fun moments folks have had playing their game. But I didn't know Dystopian Wars was going to have the exploding dice again. I didn't have the original rule book, so I didn't do the picture and get the new one. But I'm still on the fence about whether or not I want to get into it, because I've gotten into several naval games and
there's a lot of them, it seems, out right now. I mean, we have, well, that one's getting dropped right about now. Was it Mantic had one come out?
Yeah.
That's your fantasy, kind of closer to your one that you were okay. Man, I won't war. Start. You, Man you of may, War may end up going on eBay, so I'll stop. And I know there's a couple other ones out there that are kind of your naval,
right?
Well, you know, sales simulator. Yeah. Oh. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Wayne, we will get links up to probably all of them. I might forget a couple of them, but I'll put them up. They'll be on the I'll put them up on the YouTube channel. Eric, you'll have to copy them and throw them up on, okay. on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll throw links up to a bunch of these games for you, Wayne, so you can go and do check things. Do things you probably shouldn't, like spend
check too much.
Join us. Come to the dark side. Come to the dark side. We love it over here. We don't have cookies. We have miniatures and lots of them. So yeah, but Free Blades use that. Free Blades uses the exploding dice and a specialty dice, kind of, where they have some weird dice in there. So they've got. I think a 30-sided, a 40-sided. They've got some stuff like that. So they're specialty. You have to buy their specialty dice, and they're kind of cool. Yeah. So, but
I would say yes for this one.
Yeah, I would too. Because I would even say what I was going to comment about whether or not I was going to get into Dystopian Wars with Dan asking about War Rocket being considered naval, is I consider the Star Trek and X-Wing. Battlestar Galactica. I consider those ones naval battles as well, just Armada. In space. Yeah, Armada. And I think that's kind of where I find myself wanting to play more than the regular naval battles. So, but that's just mine. But I think War Rocket definitely does fast and furious,
mm-hmm.
pew pew, shoot it up kind of stuff. So, all right, what else you got on that list, Chief?
All right, so did we cover RPGs? We've kind of skirted around it a little bit. Did we cover RPG dice systems?
We didn't. We didn't really. Why don't you?
And I mean, most people know D&D. You're rolling. The main one you roll is a D20, and a lot of the other dice come into play. Whether it's like dependent on the weapon, what kind of damage does that weapon do? Whether it's a D4, 6, 8, 10, or it could be. Maybe a magic type of thing. You know, you're casting a spell, and they have to do a save. If they fail, well, then you roll 8d6s or something. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I think our gaming world is so just rife with stuff that we can pick from. And it really boils down to what you want to do at that particular moment, because there's times when I want to put a game on the table and I just want to chuck dice. You know what I mean? I don't want to be thinking. I don't want to be overcomplicating it. And I got a book here somewhere and I love Relic Blade for that, because Relic Blade is a simple D6 dice pool system where you have X amount of dice to spend to perform actions and attacks and stuff. Okay. And I mean, you're playing Relic Blade 20, 30 minutes. So you can play a whole campaign in an evening with your buddies.
That's nice. You know, to get through a full story,
but,
arc thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, like you were just talking about with the RPG stuff, then when I want to play a game that I feel like there's more meat in it, that's not quite a role-playing game, I get a game like Twisted or even Free Blades, where you've got this dynamic number of dice that you're using. So you've got all of these specifics, and there's all of this stuff that you kind of got to keep track of without becoming too laborious. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think it becomes too much. I think you can get to the point where you're becoming too much, but... And then there's that whole gamut of games in the middle. And that's why we're all broke. Because of everything between this end and this end is why we're all broke. Okay, what is this? I'm sure you know this one. Dragon
Dice. It sounds familiar, but I don't know if I remember Dragon Dice, Todd.
Oh.
Dice were the minis. That's intriguing.
Minis.
I mean, do you roll the... Do you like roll the dice and minis down as they take damage? So,
and do you get and do you get offended when people pick up your model? That's right. That's right, Todd. You win. Here I am. I'm clicking like crazy over here on the wrong stuff. You win because you got that one. So let me tell you what you win, Todd. We need you to get us a copy of Dragon Dice so we can check it out. It's like reverse winning, okay? It's like reverse winning.
He said, yeah, bigger monsters were bigger dice. Okay. So, okay.
Okay. Oh, Dan, Rifts. I loved Rifts when it first came out. Definitely. It was a good game. And again, back to that RPG dice mechanic.
TSR game. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. So the Dragon Dice was an old TSR game. So eBay, here I come tonight.
We're going to have to do an eBay talk one of these weeks.
We're going to, I think we've been doing an eBay talk every single time.
Yeah.
that we do a talk, because it seems like there's so many good games out there, and that some have come and gone.
Some you just flat out miss.
Yeah, you some know. You just never even knew about. So I think that's cool, and I'm glad that there's something like eBay or even Facebook Marketplace or whatever sort of
Amazon.
Amazon, yeah, because there's some of the used retailers there, and you're at your conventions, the flea markets.
Yeah,
flea markets. I mean, we won't have one at Coastal Con this year, but next year when we get back in the hotel, I definitely want a flea market. And you know, you'll pay for your space and for a couple of hours there, depending. You know, I mean, if I got two guys, they can stay all day.
I can predict right now you're gonna have to stay out of that area if somebody has a bits table.
Listen, I'm busy running the convention. Okay, yeah. I'm occupied. In truth, the only stuff I got last time was because my wife was walking around going, "Oh, I think he'd like that," and then I came back. I said, "Oh, look at this wonderful stuff that just magically appeared for me." So,
what kind of to start wrapping up? What kind of dice like material do you like to chuck in the, you know, your basic resin dice? Do you like doing the special clear dice? Do you like metal dice? I mean, there's so many different. Yeah, I mean, if you like dice, that's a bad thing to like.
Let me tell you what dice I like, and this is easy for me. It's dice that roll well, and I don't have any. I don't have any.
So when they don't roll well, do you just go get new ones?
Yes, I do. I have a whole tackle box full of dice. I play a game, I just pull them out and roll them. Now, my dice will roll well. It's just someone else has to use them in order for them to roll well.
Don't touch my dice.
Hey, somebody got to touch my dice so they don't roll 20s. In fact, true story. So, okay, Todd said saltwater test. Let me tell you about saltwater test, okay? I'm going to tell you something. Dice. My dice roll well, except when I roll them. And I give you proof of this. We were playing a game of Twisted. AJ from Unipolar Games, guy that owns Unipolar Games, was down here at my place. We were playing a game of Twisted. He rolled 9 natural 20s on my dice. The next day, I played with Raul, and I don't think I rolled over a 10 the entire day. So the dice, it's good. But it's the roller that is the problem. So last one is, your dad's friend bought the contents of a TSR warehouse. How what a horrible experience you must have had with that. A warehouse. I'm just stunned. I'm stunned. So since you have an unlimited supply of dragon dice, does that mean you still have some dragon dice, Todd? I'm just wondering. I mean, if you had a warehouse full, yeah, I'm just asking. I noticed that now there's silence, Todd. Okay, now there's silence. I see.
I got one more question for you. This is the kicker. And I kind of know how you feel about this, but you've been swaying a little bit. Do you need dice in a system to have fun and enjoy the game? In particular, something that used the card mechanic in place of the dice.
No, and I was stunned to say that. Now, I love to roll dice. I absolutely love it. But I got to say that the game that kind of...
Was it the mana stuff?
It was the game Tribal by Mana Press out of Australia. And I was surprised because I'm all about throwing dice. That's one of the reasons I play. It's why I buy every single dice tray that Unipolar Games makes.
So you can play Bozo Buckets.
Because apparently I need 47 dice trays to play a solo game. Apparently, I don't know. But I was surprised, and I picked up the game. You and I were talking about it because we had stumbled across it. Mm-hmm. Don't remember who stumbled across it first, actually. But they were a small indie company. Peter Overton, one of the creators of Twisted, did a lot of their layout for the book. So, you know, there was a little bit of a connection already there. So I was like, let me check this out. You know, I mean, we're not a big podcast, but we can give them a little bit of love and send the word out about their game. And I'd be doggone, man, if I didn't pick up a few models for it, painted them up and threw them on the table. I had to play solo. And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool, man. Because I didn't need the dice. I will say one thing about it, though. If you're going to give me a game that has no dice and requires cards, at least give me some flavorful cards. Give me cards that have, if I'm playing tribal, which is basically anything from cavemen to Native Americans to war tribes in Africa, anything like that. So no gun, basically no gunpowder weapons, no powder mm-hmm. weapons, anything like that. You put me a caveman on the back of the card or something like that. You give me some flavorful cards so that I at least feel like it's tied in. I don't want my Suicide King and my One-Eyed Jack deck. I want a flavored deck.
The decks of cards, like playing cards, are kind of like dice out there in the world.
Yeah.
You could find some that were
sure
themed. I mean, I think downstairs I got a deck of original Dawn of the Living Dead.
Yeah. And Malifaux did a great job with that. I wasn't a big fan of the game. I liked it. It just wasn't one of those games that grabbed me and I was like, oh, I got to play it. But they did that. They had the specialty decks,
which faction and stuff,
which I really enjoyed. I was kind of like, if you're going to do that and take away my dice and give me cards, give me cool cards that fit my faction. But to be honest, I want cool dice that fit my faction too. So, you know, first world problems.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Right. What are we going to do?
This is what we're doing.
That's right.
Solving the game one game at a time.
One game at a time. You got it, baby. All right. Well, who took us out last time?
You take us out.
I'm taking us out. Okay.
Yeah. I'll be producer.
Oh, okay. Produce away. All right. So, guys, thanks for joining us tonight. We had 10 people. Thank you so much for joining us. And also thank you. The thing that we've been really excited about lately is how much you guys are participating in the conversation.
We're doing these. We really like doing these streams because we can interact with the audience at the same time.
Absolutely. And always go over and check us out on Podbean. That's our main host for our podcast. This will be up there on the podcast tomorrow, and then we'll have new content up on Friday as well. And you can also check it out on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Stitcher, Spotify, Pocket Casts, and a whole bunch of other places. Yeah. All you have to do is Google Indie Invasion Podcast and it will come up somewhere. We're on Spotify too somewhere. There's
like
an approval process, so there's a delay in some of that. You can also check us out on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, and Podbean, and email us at indieinvasion@gmail.com. Now, the Discord is relatively new. So if you haven't joined the Discord, we encourage you to go over there. You can find a link. Did you get a link put up on the Facebook page?
I do believe so. I'll have to check it out, make sure it's the forever valid one.
If there is not over there, guys, and you go check that out, and it's not over there, you can go over to the website, which is the Coastal Con website, coastaltex.com. That's because there's a construction company called Coastal Con out there. So they took the website, the URL first. So we're Coastal Tex, and Todd likes that right now because he's in Dallas-Fort Worth. But there is a Discord link over there, so you can go over and you can join the Discord channel there.
There's a lot in that channel for you guys to start some conversations up, whether it's related to the podcast or, you know, RPGs or whatever.
Gaming. We're trying to post over there when we can, but you guys, man, use it for what you want. Throw all your stuff up there. Games, Todd, you can push Marvel Crisis Protocol all you want on the Discord channel. So do that. And also our Patreon, you can check us out on Patreon at Indie Invasion on Patreon, and everything we have there is free. You do not have to be a member to see any of it, but some stuff we only put over there. Yep. So that's the only place you'll be able to watch it, but you can watch it for free. And if you feel like supporting us, you can go over there. You can end up with a sweet Indie Invasion coffee mug, but you can also pick these up and t-shirts at Unipolar Games at their website.
So there's links for these on the website too. Yes,
there are links for Unipolar Games on the website. And I think we covered everything business wise. Was that all business? That was all our business. And Wayne always has a nice word of encouragement for us right there at the end. And we certainly appreciate that, sir, very much. We appreciate you guys listening, hanging out with us. And when you are out there playing those games, having fun, doing the crazy things, rolling all of those dice or playing cards, using those cards, sometimes they're out there. Don't forget to prepare yourselves for the invasion.